Never say never again. Never, never say never again.
Welcome to the James Bond Complex. My name's Matt.
My name is Edgar.
And we are a James Bond podcast where we discuss the entire James Bond phenomenon from Fleming to film to everything in between. I stole your line.
You do it really well. I'll let, if you can do it that well every time, you can take over. It's fine by me.
I don't want to take all the blame. So we are doing a special episode. It's technically it is a movie episode, but it's
also a bonus episode.
It's also a bonus episode because technically it's not part of the Eon production canon. Of course, we are.
Well, it could be one of three things. We could be talking about 1954 Climax Casino Royale. We could be talking about 1967 Woody Allen Casino Royale, or we could be talking about
The remake of the film that we talked about last week, which is Never Say Never Again. 1983's Never Say Never Again.
Exactly. There's a lesson to be learned there. That lesson, never say never again.
Never! Oh, my God.
Want to chit-chat a little bit about Kevin McClory and Jack Whittingham? I mean, we talked about doing its own episode, which I think it deserves.
Eventually.
We didn't really have the time to do full-on research. I know we have a couple of... Well, I have a book. I'm sure you have something. You know, we have the equipment necessary to research it, but we didn't really... I just read a little bit on it.
I went on the wiki page, and I... From memory, because, I mean... he only passed away 12 years ago, and a couple years before his death, he was still trying to make another remake.
Warren 2000 or something. Like that.
Warren 2000. I remember. I was on the internet. I googled that, and I was like, "Really, two bum movies?" And I still remember the little graphic that had Pierce Brosnan body with Liam Neeson's head on top of it. And I was like, oh, but Sony Pictures was making their own James Bond movie. And I'm like, really? Do you want to go back to the beginning? Let's take the time machine.
So, I guess we go back to the, mid to late 50s.
1957, if I remember correctly.
And Fleming is, he's obviously released some of the Bond books. They've been hit so far. And now he's getting, thank you to the authors of Some Kind of Hero, my 10-minute reading session last night. And Fleming is getting, you know, TV deals. He's getting some movie deals. We want to bring Bond to the screen. Most of these deals fall through. And so they decided, instead of doing it with a major studio, they tried to do it independently. And the starting point of this independent James Bond film is with two other people from the business, Kevin McClory, who's a producer slash director, and I believe a screenwriter by the name of Jack Whittingham. Mm-hmm. And so they get together to produce an original story. They're not really going to adapt any of the books. I don't think Kevin McClory wants to adapt any of the books. So they write an original story. We'll get to that. That version of the script, that treatment, is not immediately made into a film. The deal follows through, and Fleming goes off and writes Thunderball with a lot of ideas from this treatment.
Picks up the leftovers and makes his own version, I guess, of the story. Mm-hmm. And then picks up a lot of the elements that...
Thus begins a decades-long litigation and courtroom drama. That's why we actually, you know, funnily enough, I don't think we mentioned it in last week's Thunderball review. That's why Thunderball in the title sequence is presented by Harry Saltzman and Cubby Broccoli, but produced by Kevin McClory. That's one of the major reasons why. So there was an agreement between Broccoli.
You know what's funny? When you watch a making of, Kevin's and McClory, like, it's barely mentioned. Don't even mention, I think, that he's producing.
But I think by the time those making ofs were made, the litigation was still going on. And Eon was obviously going to protect their own. So maybe if they made one today, it'd be a little bit more open-minded.
That'd be really interesting, like decades after the fact. But
so there's this deal between the Broccolis and McClory. You know, come on board. We'll make Thunderball together. You can be the producer, but you can't make a Bond film. You can't remake Thunderball or a Bond film for 10 years.
Yeah, because the consequences of the lawsuit, first of all, it more or less killed Fleming, because the stress of the suit impaired. Like, his health was already impaired because of his bad habits, but that just killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And the results was that he would get partial, like his own version, I guess, from the rights where he could, he had control of the story, Thunderball and all the related characters, and he could make actually sequels to it. It's very complicated. And basically, as you said, the Broccolis eventually, like, to, I guess, protect their own investment, approached him and made a deal to produce Thunderball. And it would not have made sense for him to try and make his own version of James Bond in the 1960s, like Connery was Bond. They tried it with Casino Royale, and it was a miserable failure at the time.
Yeah, well, it was a failure for many different reasons, and it was a different kind. Yeah,
I know, but you can't overshadow Connery with an unknown at the time.
So 10 years elapses after the release of Thunderball, and well, the deal's done, and me, Kevin McClory, I still feel like making a Bond movie.
Well, you know what's funny is that, and I saw some documents, and there was a legal battle between the Broccolis at the time who were making The Spy Who Loved Me and Kevin McClory, who was doing his own script. And when they describe what was in the script, a lot of plot elements are really, 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 like, coincidental. I don't know if it's coincidentally, but the underwater villain, the holding the world hostage with nuclear weapons, both stories are very much alike. And it's not Largo, it's actually Blofeld.
Yeah, there's an early spy treatment that features Blofeld that will probably never see the light of day, but...
I mean, in the Kevin McClory... the initial project, and
there is also a spy treatment that has Blofeld in it. Yeah.
So. And Sean Connery was at point attached in the 70s to at least direct. Starring is not was not confirmed, but he was attached to direct the movie himself.
Mm.
But that
has he ever directed anything? I don't think so. Not to my recollection.
He probably did, but I would have to go to on his IMDb page. Mm. So I'll be honest, I don't know.
Oh, okay, forget it. So anyway, so now we're in the late 70s, early 80s, and I mean, Kevin, he really wants to make this Bond movie. Like, he is not going to relent. Cubby Broccoli, by the way, is is the godfather to his children. Doesn't matter. I want to make a Bond movie. It's a little obsessive.
That makes some odd Christmas dinner party.
Yeah. So it does happen. Lots of wheeling and dealing. Apparently the distribution deals, I was reading that chapter in Some Kind of Hero, and his producing partner went to like 25 different countries to sign distribution deals. It's read like it was extremely difficult to get this movie off the ground, which is normal. There's already an official series in existence. But it does happen. And who gets to play James? Just how do you... just open up that old wound again in, you know, Fat Cubby's side and just turn the knife slowly. You get Sean Connery to play James Bond. And he accepts.
And honestly, a lot can be said about his performance in Diamonds Are Forever. But I like
and
him
we
more.
We have said a lot.
But I like him so much more in this movie. He looks more fit. He looks more energized.
He looks like he's having a really good time in this movie. He's giving it a very funny, charming performance. This is, forget the Dr. No from Russia with Bond. That Bond died a long time ago. But if you can accept that, he's giving a really fun performance. It's very enjoyable.
He's closer to the Goldfinger performance than any other.
Even more jokey than that, I think.
Yes, but that's a template.
And... yeah. And he looks fantastic. I tweeted someone, I can't remember if it was last night or this morning maybe, because I tweeted last night that I was watching the movie, and I said, hey, this really isn't half bad. I got a lot of retweets and responses. Yeah, I like it too. Oh, I like this part. Oh, did you get to this part yet? And I responded to someone like, oh, new life goal, to look like Connery when I'm 53 years old. Seriously. If I look like Connery when I'm 53, when he was 53, done. I'm good. I have life goal. He looks fantastic.
He looks, well, like I said, he looks thinner. He looks more fit. He looks more pliable. I don't know if he did some yoga, but he looks very stiff.
He's like scuttling all over the place, like in the Tears of Alas climax. He's the one, like, there's no edits there. So he's like running all over the place.
The entire opening sequence is, it's him. It's impressive. Like, that man is impressive.
He wanted to make this movie. He did have reservations. In fact, he's quoted as saying, if there's still lawyers involved in this thing, I'm out. I'm not doing this thing. His wife is actually the one that came up with the title, Never Say Never. Well, you did say you would never do it again, so why don't you just call it like
Never Say Never Again? Yeah. It's a great title. It sounds Fleming-esque. Mm. Let's start with the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, right, we didn't do a plot synopsis. This is Thunderball, but the comedy version.
Cut and paste. I mean, I didn't plan on doing...
I forgot.
So, I mean...
It's Thunderball.
Nuclear bombs get stolen. Bond is tasked with retrieving them. He meets Kim Basinger and a guy that's named Largo. And Largo killed Kim Basinger's brother, who's played by the guy from Superman 3. And eventually, all of this leads to an underwater battle where Kim Basinger kills Largo, and Mr. Bean shows up at the end, and Connery says never say never again, and he winks to the camera at the end.
Yeah, freeze frame. I love it. I love it.
It starts with the worst Bond title song of all time. Any universe, every alternate reality, whatever, it is horrible. But it's an earworm. It stays in your head. Never!
Yeah. No, it's not a very good song. I mean, is it the worst one? I mean, really don't like Die Another Day. Like, really don't like it. If I had to listen to one of the two, I actually would listen to Never Say Never Again.
Yeah, but, Never Say Never Again beats it, for the single reason it ruins a really great action sequence.
That's awesome.
Like, the entire sequence is, wow, that's impressive. It's dynamic. It feels like Bond is back. It's action, and it's Connery's Bond. So it's a little bit more brutal compared to Roger Moore. Roger Moore is not as violent and as bloody as...
Maybe that's... Oh, you know what? You keep talking about those headshots in Octopussy. That's why they decided to make it more brutal.
You know what? You're probably right. I never thought about it, but that's probably the reason why that movie is a little bit more violent than any other. Like, it's probably more violent than A View to a Kill, which is pretty violent.
Yeah, it's a pretty violent movie.
But it's more the villain in Octopus. It's Roger Moore that's doing the headshots.
Yeah.
A lot of people being stabbed, being shot at, and it turns out to be an exercise.
Training exercise.
Funny.
I do like Bond's reaction when it's I should have known. Interesting. So what I like about then we sort of go to MI6 and M. Not a big fan of this M, Edward Fox. I mean, good actor. I've seen him in a few things. I'm not like entirely sold on his M. But what I like about this is they don't pretend that Bond is in his 30s. This is older. In fact, Bond says, like, well, I've only been doing these training exercises for a little while. I've been mostly teaching. I haven't been in the field for a while. So that line struck me. Like, they're acknowledging that a decade plus has passed, and Bond hasn't gone on many missions or at all recently.
That's a compliment I'm going to give it. It fits with the theme of the novel, where Bond is actually not in top form. His liver's gone, is almost gone. His lungs are giving up. Like, he's in pretty bad shape in the beginning of the novel.
He's what you might call in Fleming shape.
Yeah. And here in this movie, he's just old, and they say that he missed a step, but he's 53 years old.
I mean.
At one point, M says, oh, you died in two simulation, and Bond corrects him, says, no. Last time, I lost two legs, but I was not dead.
So, which is a very Bond reply.
That was cute.
Eliminate all free radicals and stuff like the world's changing and this and that. So he gets sent to Shrublands, like in the book Thunderball, like in the film Thunderball. He goes to Shrublands, and this is a good time. I like our time spent in Shrublands, like I did in Thunderball.
There are things I like more here than like the
it's
the,
funnier.
But there, we made Fatima blush, which. I love this character. I love that
she's our Fiona Volpe. She's but like cubed.
What's his name? Pitachi. I think it's Frank Pitachi in this iteration.
No, Jack.
Jack.
They're right. American.
Yeah. Later on, we found out that the Spectre put him on. I think it's opium or. Cocaine or some drug, and he's an addict, and they're using that to coerce him. But Fatima Blush is playing the nurse, his nurse, and at one point he's trying to revolt, and she beats the crap out of him, and it's fantastic. And
it's really funny.
Like Bond gets woken by the ruckus they're making, and he sees like. Slamming him against the wall, and the guy's like, oh, it's funny as hell. Like, I liked her immediately. I'm like, oh, she's beautiful.
She's given a good performance, too. She has good comedic timing.
I don't understand why this actress was not bigger in the 80s. She should have been the big star.
Yeah, poor, Barbara Carrera.
Should have been bigger.
Very, very good. She has great outfits, too.
She
just made her look like a pirate, like a female pirate in her death scene.
Yes, she did. Blown up. She's very flamboyant, which I don't know if I date a woman like that, but it's captivating to see on screen.
Well, if the date doesn't go well, she'll blame it on you and kill you. So, no, I would not date a woman like that. But it's a lot of fun. And Connery, there's some nice little moments, like when he meets, I guess, this version of Patricia Farring, and you know, oh, I have you in about an hour. Oh, your room or mine. Then it cuts to, like, these exercises. Well, she's just sort of just gently rocking him. And then she, like, squeezes, cracks the back, and Bond is like, oh, God, that really hurt. Like, there's a lot of really funny moments in this sequence and in this movie. It's tongue-in-cheek. It's tongue-in-cheek. And
it's written by, the name escapes me, but it's one of the screenwriters of the original 60s Batman TV show.
Well, there you go.
It fits.
Yes, that explains a lot.
Mystery solved.
Not a bad thing. I had a wonderful time watching this movie, but that explains a lot. There's a fight.
You mean with this version of Count Lippe?
Yeah.
You know, when I said the things I enjoyed more, this entire subplot with Count Lippe, it makes more sense to me in this movie. And it's played, Count Lippe is played by Pat Roach. He's a stuntman. He's in all three Indiana Jones movie. He's the bald German in Raiders.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's one of the guards, the guy that gets crushed in the Temple of Doom in the conveyor belt thing. Yeah. And you can barely see him in The Last Crusade as they are leaving the blimp. As they're leaving with the blimp, you can see him in the ground with one of the Germans, and that's Pat Roach. He died, I think, in either the late 90s or the early 2000s. He died rather young. I don't remember when he passed away, but yeah, that's him. And he's a big,
huge,
burly guy. And he makes Sean Connery, who's like, he's not a shrimp. He's like over 6 feet tall, maybe 6'2". Yeah, and he makes him look like a shrimp.
And there's good choreography.
It's a fun fight.
In that fight, when they're in the kitchen, and then the cook is like, "You're crazy!" And she runs out of there. Like, that's really funny. And he takes out his metal whip. Bond takes a knife, and he takes out his metal whip, and he just cuts the knife in two with his whip. Bond's like, "Oh shit, this is not gonna work."
He kills him with He throws liquid in his face, and Bond looks at the vial and says, urine test that he took earlier. And Bond's like, my piss did that to him. And it turns out, no, when he, like, he got the piss in his face, and he stabbed himself with a bunch of equipment. But still, it's a funny joke when you like, yeah. That Bond's
piss in his face.
In the theft of the missile with these, they did a plastic surgery on his eye to match.
Yeah, because if the way to not activate, but to engage these missiles or to retrieve them from their sleeping bag, so to speak, it's only on presidential authority, and it's an eye, it's a eye retina verification scanner. So what they did, they don't explain it. We don't need an explanation. But this Jack Patachy bloke, I think his right eye is the one that looks like the president's eye. They've somehow made his right eye look like the president's eye. So yeah. So they send him back to NATO, and during the lunch break, he conveniently slivers into the chamber where the nuclear missiles are, and he goes through the digital process, or the eye scanning process, and he can retrieve these bombs.
It's overly complicated. That's better in Thunderball.
Yeah, it is ridiculously complicated. Like, speaking of weird, the way Fatima Blush
kills him. Yeah.
What is happening?
She throws a snake.
First of all, she has a snake. Secondly, she throws the snake in his car. You can hear him. No. Crashes his car. He dead. The snake's not dead, though. We never see the snake again.
No. And she then puts a bomb on the car and blows it. I'm like, you know, could have left it like this, and he would just have looked like he had a stroke or something. It would have been perfectly reasonable.
Would have been more, that's true.
Now
that's
putting C4 on his car and blowing him up, it's a little bit suspicious. And
Overkill. Now, I think at some point we get to meet our leading lady, who's nowhere near... I mean, beautiful woman, and she would go on to become a pretty good actress, but she's not, like, that interesting in this movie.
We first meet our version of Blofeld as the Tretton.
Yeah, it's true. How could I forget that? There is a Spectre meeting. I played by an absolutely legendary actor who's still working to this day, although he only shows up in little bits and pieces.
He's getting up there.
Yeah, age. Max von Sydow or Sydow.
Can I say something?
What about?
Best Blofeld ever?
Face
Blofeld.
I still like Telly. I still like Telly more, but he's pretty good. He is pretty good. He's enjoying himself a lot.
Yeah.
He's having fun. I like this terrorism thing. I love the silver skull.
Yes.
That's awesome. I like that.
And they're in Singa, I think, if I understood correctly, it's like two flags.
Yeah. Like, yeah, not as interesting. Well, of course, I mean, they couldn't use what Eon was using, the ghost octopus. But I thought actually the skull was their insignia. But now that you mention it, that's stupid. So they have
matchboxes
and they put their own insignia on it.
That's how I understood it.
That's ridiculous.
Because it's everywhere.
A lot of this movie is ridiculous, but for some reason that one strikes me particularly as being ridiculous.
And we also meet, well, that's when we meet Largo and we meet our Domino. But I need to talk about the flying saucer. It's the most interesting thing I found out after the fact about this movie. The boat today is called the Kingdon 5KR. It's an 85.65 meter long super yak. It was built
yacht,
for...
not a yak.
Yacht. It was built for Saudi billionaire Adnan Khashoggi. It is now owned by a Saudi business magnate, Al-Walid bin Talal. But in the late 80s and until the early 90s, it was bought by a very famous billionaire in America.
Bill Gates?
Nope.
Ted Turner?
Nope.
Oh, what's his face? Who's the president now? Donald Trump?
Yeah. He bought a Bond supervillain boat. And then we meet Kim Basinger. Basinger?
I think it's Basinger.
And I while watching her perform her little dance, I remember while I had a crush on her from
she's beautiful.
Batman 89. damn, have you seen her daughter that she had with Alec Baldwin? She's about 20 now. Mm. She's the spitting image of her. Really? She looks like her mom. It is. It's like her mom.
Cloned her.
Cloned her. It's amazing. Mm. She's a gorgeous young woman. But yeah, her mom was, and still something.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't say she's giving a great performance in this movie. She's the kept woman. She's like Claudine Auger in Thunderball.
Maybe a bit not more playful much. Though. I found her a little bit more.
Really? She's more playful than
she's. I know her more
than Claudine. I mean,
she's a little bit more of a comedic actress herself. So she has moments of comedy. When that exchange that she has with Connery when he's performing the massage on her, and she finds out that no man works at the health spa, and she's disgusted, and she goes from disgusted to intrigued to
right. Yeah.
It's not a great performance, but it's not a great part either. So
no,
she's fine for what she is given.
But more importantly, we meet somebody else in that scene who's looking at her from behind the glass.
Maximilian
Lago. Now, the problem with talking about Largo, unlike many of the other characters we've talked before, I mean, we love doing quotes. I certainly love doing quotes. You like doing quotes. Now, we could quote Maximilian Largo, but that's only 50% of the joy Klaus Maria Brandauer. That's only 50% of the joy in Brandauer's performance. The other 50 are the faces he gives. And unfortunately, this is a podcast, so I almost don't feel like quoting him, but man, is he fun.
You must be Mr. James Bond, right?
Monsieur Largo.
Yes, right. Are you a man who enjoys games?
Depends with whom I'm playing.
Yeah, shall we? Join us. These are my friends. They honored me by coming from all over the world to lose their money for my favorite charity.
And what might that be?
Children, orphan children. So, here we are. The game is called Domination. I designed it myself. But my problem is, I've never yet found a worthy adversary.
No doubt I shall disappoint you too.
We'll see.
He's charming. He's affable. He's a psycho. You can tell he's crazy. You can tell he's off his rocker, but he's still kind of affable. He's still sort of genteel about his psychopathy.
He hides his insanity very well.
Yeah, he sort of plays it.
There are moments where with Kim Basinger where they look like they're an actual couple and they're into each other.
Mm.
But then he's going to say something and it's going to come off as super creepy.
I don't understand why she would ask the question of, well, what if I left you? Like, why? If he's your boyfriend and you had like, why would you ask that? I've never been with, like, nobody's ever asked me, like, and what if I left you? Like, who asked that question?
Then I cut your throat.
Again, I can't do it justice because it's such a visual performance.
I can't do it justice, obviously, but
it's like, well, then I cut to. But there's no point because he's always doing things with his face and his fingers. So I
but
can't.
It's still,
you know,
voice is.
Yeah,
good.
It's you know. Then I cut your throat.
it is quite a performance, like.
The tears of Allah taste like, no, sweet, like money. And he's like doing the, it's an off-kilter performance. It's the performance I would never have expected out of a Bond villain.
Kind of reminds me of, today, but it echoes Max Zorin a little bit, like kind of the off performance.
Yeah, it's a little off. It's a
but
little,
it's not.
But
in
who
a
knows?
Good
I
way.
Mean, Viewed to Kill is after this. Maybe Chris Walken saw that and said, "Oh, that's not bad. Maybe I'll
Perhaps.
Do that." Maybe because there may be some similarities, but that's later though.
Yes,
this is like Max Zorin prime.
Yes,
kind of.
I don't know. It's a great performance. Like when you compare him to the other Largo, this Largo, I enjoy.
He's a lot more fun.
That's a lot more fun.
I love the moment where Bond goes on his yacht, the flying saucer, And, oh, you're a little early. Cigarette? No, we tosses the cigarette. A drink? You know, it just, it's such...
Vodka martini.
Of course. You know, oh, it's fantastic, fantastic.
Honestly, this viewing of this movie, it's probably the most I've ever enjoyed it. Because it's not on the box set, I never bought it. I bought it for the first time last night on digital. It is a surprisingly good movie. It's not all perfect, but it has... Largo's better. Fatima Bush is equal, at least, I would say, almost surpasses... what's the name of the actress? Or the, Fatima Bush and Fiona Volpe almost surpasses Fiona Volpe at times. Like she comes close because she's a little bit more physical,
more cartoony.
It depends what you want, but this movie is really clearly going more for comedy. Yeah. This is more Goldfinger, while Thunderball is going more for From Russia with Love, yeah. Dr. No, something a little bit more naturalistic than. The other movies. So for what they're going for, they're hitting a lot of, not home runs, but they're making a lot of points.
By hitting the ball, yes.
And the ball
by
in the
hitting
corner.
The Thunderball.
The Thunderball.
Oh, you got a Felix Leiter.
First,
Bernie Casey.
Oh, before that, we have the famous James Bond actor, Rowan Atkinson.
Mr. Bond! Hey, Mr. Bond!
Catch you later, perhaps.
Right.
Nigel Smallfoot, British Embassy, Nassau.
How'd you do, Nigel?
Sorry I'm late. But as you're one of these undercover Johnnies, I took the precaution of not being followed.
And that's why you shouted my name across the harbor.
Oh, God, did I? Oh, I'm sorry.
Damn! Damn!
Sorry, I'm rather new to all this.
What's the score with Largo?
Oh, he's highly visible in these parts. Enormously wealthy. Owns the biggest boat in the Caribbean. Spends a lot of his time at a place called Bluebeard Reef. Marine archaeology, I gather.
You've met him?
Oh, yes, he's charming. I mean, foreign. But charming nonetheless.
Yeah. Mr. Bond.
Mr. Bond. You know...
I remember him being in the movie more than he is. He's really just for 2 minutes at the start and 2 minutes at the end. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Interesting fact about Rowan Atkinson and the character of Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean was created in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
And then we meet... Wait. This is where Bond comes to... is sent to NASA. And he's... he's trying to find somebody to take him to investigate. I don't know what he's investigating in NASA when he goes swimming. Because from what I understood, the missile, they landed somewhere in the Atlantic close to England. Not in the Bahamas. It makes, like, I'm like, okay, I missed a part.
Yeah, I don't know why he's there.
But nevertheless, there he's investigating a wreck of some sort. With Fatima Blush, who I guess masquerades as somebody who owns a boat. And while on the boat, they have sex. And their sex scene is so... I thought it's really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, as the boat tilts, they're sliding. And the shot is from the outside of the room where they're fornicating, and their heads will only appear through the shaft of the door, the silhouette of the door, and you know Fatima Blush, like she's like arching back, like and then the boat will tail till they'll slide away. It's really cool.
It's really silly.
Irvin Kershner, we salute you. I mean, Empire Strikes Back, not a funny movie. RoboCop 2, not a funny movie, but you have some comedic chops as a director.
There are comedic moments in those two movies, though. But yeah, and then we have the. And I think that's something that they tried to bring. It was in multiple writing exercise of Bond movies, a mechanical type of shark. But in this case, it's a remote-controlled shark.
Yeah, remote-controlled shark. That is actually, you know, we showered a lot of praise onto the underwater sequences in Thunderball, and they earned it. But this one's really cool. where he's like hunted by tons of sharks, like around the ship, under the in the ship, really. And these sharks are popping out of everywhere.
Yeah, and I to this day I don't know, were those Muppets or
I don't know.
Well, they look like real sharks, and they go in corners, and they like he gets close to these
real close. Oof. Impressive, very like, impressive.
Like if they're real shark, I'm concerned about the animal's safety. Yeah. If they are robots, they should hire these guys to make every underwater creature in the world, because they look real, and I don't know what they are.
I don't know. I did wonder that myself as I watched the film, and
honestly, when I was watching them, like if the scenes in Thunderball were hard to shoot in 1965, this must have been a nightmare to shoot, because it's if they're real sharks, it's probably so complicated. Probably half the budget went into that sequence. I don't see it.
Connery's salary and the sharks.
Yeah. I'm paying for shark.
Everybody else is just there for fun, for the experience.
And he finally escapes the trap, I guess, and he gets picked up by... I think she's another actress that's been in another Bond movie. I think she's in The Spy Who Loved Me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think she's the receptionist in The Spy Who Loved Me. I'm not entirely certain. I know she's been in...
The girl that's fishing?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. The woman that's out to find something that's 190 pounds, 6 feet, brown eyes. Why go out to sea at all?
See, that's in a good moment.
Yeah.
So she picks him up. Your place or mine?
Absolutely.
And meanwhile,
make the right decision.
Yeah, because Fatima Blush went. She did what she loves doing the best, the most. Planting bombs.
not proximity mine, but the remote-controlled bombs.
Yeah.
Underneath cars, beds. It's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
So she blows up. She does blows up Bond's suite, but he was actually making love with the fish lady. I don't know what her name is.
Fish lady.
Fish lady in her room. You know.
Oh, we made the right choice, and they keep screwing.
Yeah, come on. Got to finish the business. I'm starting to forget the plot about this one, despite the fact that I watched it last night. And it's so much like Thunderball.
It's so much like Thunderball.
They leave Nassau pretty quick. Right? They go to Nice.
Yeah, they go to Nice.
In the south of France.
It's starting to... The thing is that in some beats, it goes faster. It goes to the plot of Thunderball faster. And they start hitting the brakes in Nice. They start not... There's a moment. We're about to get there. He arrives to Nice, and he notices the yacht, and he notices Kim Basinger, Domino, and he's like, and so he starts investigating. He goes to the health spa. He talks to her. He tries.
Great massage scene. Yeah. So funny.
And it's only this time. And when he says, oh, you have a problem with that's
the
something.
Same problems that Patricia Ferrin said he had at the start. Because he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know this stuff. So he just says, what do I know? Oh, what was my problem? You have lesions on you. You know.
It's pretty funny.
C'est la vie. C'est la vie. Such is life. See, now you should... This is the review where you should do Connery. Because he's talking exactly like... No, you're still... You're putting too much mustard compared to the old Connery, and then when Connery's talking like your usual,
my name is Bond.
You're putting even more mustard.
You're putting pressure on me. I'm not doing it anymore.
My name is Bond.
My name is
James
Bond.
Bond.
My name is Bond. James Bond.
I owe you an explanation.
Oh, the French contact. That's the thing. Before that, he goes to a casino and he meets. For some reason, they have arcades in the casino.
With tables right next to the arcades and a bar.
And we're about to hit the, what I call the Halle Berry jumps into a green screen moment.
Actually, you know what? Can I defend that from? It doesn't, like, look that interesting. It looks weird. But the charity is for children. So I think that's, like, the idea. Make it look like an arcade because it's for children.
Oh, that's not the problem that I have.
I'm just saying. Like,
if you, honestly, I'm thinking product placement. That's probably the reason this thing is.
I would have to think that's not always there at the casino. It's for this charity. You know, you put your coins in, play the game, you know.
I'm thinking product placement. I'm thinking the
idea. I'm thinking actual, logical, perfectly sound, plausible movie in-world explanations.
Plausible. Still, it's a casino. And they have this game. What's the name of the game?
Domination.
Domination. And it's so
the game weird. Is called Domination. You are red. I am blue. Are you ready? I have two missiles. You may block them. Oh, I forgot to... I may have forgotten to tell you. If you let go of the joystick, you forfeit. But you didn't know. So we will play again.
I mean, it gets electric shocks through the...
Yeah. But the intensity of the electroshocks increases. So
60%.
Danger. Danger.
It's going to give you a heart attack. It's a funny sequence, but it's really
weird.
Out of step with, like, there are other parts, but this is after that part, the movie starts to lag for me. Like, there's,
I still had a pretty decent time the rest of the way.
The beat it was quicker than the Thunderbolt, but it stopped in its track for.
It was a great motorcycle chase.
Yeah, but that night. I know, but I'm just, it's a marker for me. It's just a marker. There's still good stuff, but it's a marker to me. This is where they're trying to slow the plot down. And the motorcycle chase is great. I love the final confrontation with Fatima Black. I'm sad to see her go.
Your gun.
Carefully. Over here. Spread your legs. Good. Very good. You're quite a man, Mr. James Bond. But I am a superior woman. Guess where you get the first one.
Well, in view of your hatred of man.
Liar! You know that making love to Fatima was the greatest pleasure of your life?
Well, to be perfectly honest, there was this girl in Philadelphia.
Shut up! I am the best.
Yes. Yes, you're right. In fact, I was going to put you in my memoirs as number one.
I was going to put you down in memoirs the best.
Mm-hmm. Tell them I was the best.
And she bump,
blows her up.
At first, like, the gadget pops and she gets stabbed in the stomach and it doesn't hurt her that much. She's looking at it and like, are you serious? Are you for real? And she's about to, like, and finally it blows up and just all is
not,
left.
Not perfected yet. I think Q says, we haven't perfected. Augie, you know. Fun character. I hope we're going to have a lot of gratuitous sex and violence this time. Well, I certainly hope so, too.
And then we... I love when Felix shows up. Because you find out that... that he was in the background, basically.
Yeah.
That seems like somebody had to bring him back into the story and just say that he was listening in. Because they could have captured her, interrogated her, and find out more, but no, just blow her up.
Yeah, and he says, you know, I was just hanging around to see how you'd handle the girl. Like, he was really close to getting killed there, man.
Yeah.
He could have intervened. I do like how they make their escape, though. They undress. They get rid of their business clothes and they're sort of just in their undergarments, so to speak. And Bond is on the bike, un deux, and Felix is like pretending to be a boxer. So they're training together. So nobody, they're just a couple of trainers. Let them pass. That's pretty cool. Spice of it, sneaking on your feet.
Yeah, no, it reminded me of Rocky.
Yeah.
The Rocky versus James Bond. There's an idea.
Well, we go to where are they in Northern Africa? They say they're going to Le Maghreb, but where are they?
Oh, before that, they do stuff. They bring, they go on the boat, and that's when, like, he's sneaking in the boat, and one of the valet comes and is like, oh, but Mr. Largo's waiting for you. And they talk, and at one point, he leaves them in alone in the computer room.
In the control room, where they're handling this Spectre operation. Enjoy the boat. Like, what are you... Just going to leave him there?
Yeah, you're...
not very careful.
No, that's not a good idea.
No.
And he... is it... there's a moment where he meets back with Domino and... oh, yeah, that's before. He meets with Domino. He talks with Domino, and he's dancing with Domino. And one point's like, I'm going to kiss you. And she's like, oh. And it's like, because I really want to cause a reaction. And Largo loses it after that.
Hey, there's an axe? And I don't know where he gets the axe from. There's an axe in this dancing room. Breaks the mirror. So he definitely got a reaction out of it. But I think Bond is actually the reaction with... which has prompted Largo to go into dance room, awards Bond the time to go into Largo's control room to find something out.
I think he's able to send a message to Felix?
Something like that.
I don't know.
Something like that.
And they finally make it to, like I said, Northern Africa.
I don't know where they are, though.
Like, honestly, this is bizarre. Like, this is where the movie is starting. Like I said, Fatima, not Fatima, but the domination game was a marker. But domination's weird. But the deviation in Northern Africa, where they tie up both Bond and Domino, and they're
okay. You know, I'm on the wiki page. The place where they've gone to is Palmyra. They're calling that place Palmyra in the film.
That's not Palmyra. Okay, Palmyra in Northern Africa.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the other Palmyra.
Traps Bond and takes him and Domino to Palmyra, Largo's base of operations in North Africa.
Okay, whatevs. and they're putting a Domino on a pole.
I think they're going to sell her off.
Yeah, it's white slavery.
Yeah.
And Bond is put in a trap. I don't know what they're going to do to him. But he's
just chained.
Yeah. But he finally, yes.
Somebody has to lose, so... Ciao, bello. You are a really good secret agent. Wow, you really were, yes.
In your time. He escapes with his laser watch.
Yeah, about time he got that eye.
And he... grabs a hold of Domino. They struggle. They go
everywhere. It's on horseback.
Yeah, on horseback. They go everywhere across the castle where they are. Eventually, they manage to escape by jumping. And I think I heard that the horse that they used for part of that sequence got killed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pretty, like, honestly...
looks like green screen to me, though.
Parts of it, but there's a down camera shot where you see the horse and the people. I heard weird stuff about this movie. Like, the sharks, I wouldn't be surprised if they were real sharks, and real sharks actually died while making this movie.
Well, you know, the animal rights movement, I don't think had it much wind in its... or less wind in its sails than it does these days.
Yeah.
It's not like it could have been a factor. They didn't really just think about it. Didn't really care about
didn't
it.
Didn't care.
They don't make DVDs. There's no YouTube, so there'll be no making of this movie. Let's just toss a horse down this fort 100 stories below.
There's part of it that's a green screen, but there's part of it, it looks like a real horse and real stuntman jumping out. And it's not like, it doesn't look like a sack of potatoes, it looks like a real horse. But they escape, they team up with, I guess, well, Felix is there. But
Felix comes with, like, the Marines. They're shooting at the fort.
Yeah.
To give Bond and Domino time to escape. They're down there in the water. Great. I love those 1980s special effects where it's all composite. Like, there's no digital, so it's composite. So it looks like a little... You know, every movie that comes out every week, not just the summer anymore, it feels like there's a $200 million budgeted film every second week these days. And, of course, it's all, you know, digital effects. So when you go back to watch a movie from 1983 that has special effects, but it's all composite, it's almost you need, like, 3 seconds to just readjust again. Because at first it's like, whoa. It's like, oh, well, but that's what it was like back then. This looked great back then. So, okay.
And well, the I don't know how the real. Oh yeah, it's the medal. The medal that Domino has as yeah, the
Largo's planned gift. Largo's gift to Domino is a well, no, it's not a necklace, but it's something she wears around her neck, which looks like a piece of not stone, but I guess quartz or whatever. But there's a decoration on it, which is actually the map with the location of where the bombs are.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Can you hear the high roll I just did?
So, thanks to this gift that Largo gave Domino, we find out where the bombs are, which is not far from Palmyra.
I guess so. Anyway, there's a temple. They find
bomb. It's just the location known as the Tears of Allah. They don't really say where it is.
Oh, and this is one of the weirdest, most useless gadgets I've ever seen in any movie. Worse than that that ring that he wears in Die Another Day, those rocket packs. Like I first
looked weird. That's probably the worst looking effect in the film.
Those are, it's embarrassing. Like I felt, oh, come on, Sean, you shouldn't be on this thing. It's embarrassing. It's beneath you.
Yeah, Felix looks like he's not having a good time either.
Although it's fun to see them sneak inside the temple. They sneak and yeah. Both of them are like back to back. Like it looks like it's going to be like a great action sequence. And Bond goes, "You stay there. I'm going to go and take care of things."
Well, you see, I'm James Bond, and you're just Felix Leiter. So I'm going to go get the action.
Yeah, that's
you stay put and give cover fire.
It's pretty much
if I need it, which yeah. I probably won't. So just stay put.
Just stay put. Look at me. I'm awesome.
I mean, the action sequence is fine. There's a little bit of gunfight, a little bit of grenades there. It's okay.
It takes forever. Like, that climax should have happened 20 minutes earlier.
Well, I don't know about that.
They could have cut that entire subplot where Domino and Bond get put in Palmyra. They could have cut that part.
They could have cut that.
That would actually improve the movie a little bit to me. Sometimes it's better to be shorter, more compact, but more efficient in your storytelling. But I guess they want you like, whoa, we got to get more, because they go more international than the original story goes. So it's a little bit...
The Tears of Allah, apparently it's on the Ethiopian coast.
Marvelous.
I said they don't say where it is. Well, this is what Wikipedia is saying. I don't think the Tears of Allah actually exists.
I don't think it's...
There's no clickable link on the Wikipedia page, which probably is not a good sign.
But they're sweet, like money.
Yeah, like money.
Well, they turn the bomb on. We earlier find out that Largo said that the bombs, one of them was in the States. They took care of that one. And they're trying to sneak the second one out of the Tears of Allah. Well, when the assault begins, one of the scientists turns the bomb on. Yep. So it's going to blow up. They're dragging the bomb.
Dr. Kovacs. Ah, Dr. Kovacs, we would drink a toast to our success. I can't do a Max von Sydow.
And who blows up? No, it's Largo blows up the exit, and Bomb is to get on an helicopter and uses
he's dangling from this kind of a rope, and they find like a pit.
Yeah, pit.
Yes, tosses himself into the pit. Well, he has his propeller. He has his gas tank. I mean, not propeller, but a gas tank. His scuba gear, essentially.
Basically, it's a cavern that communicates, and it's what's the name I'm looking for?
A well?
A well. It's a well that communicates with the entire cavern system.
It's a big-ass well.
Oh. And he falls, and he intercepts Largo and him, and Largo fight. Eventually, it looks like Largo is going to have the...
the last laugh.
But at the last second, and it's a great shot. Like, he gets, again, shot, but it's underwater. I think it's also in the book. It's Domino shoots him in the book, but it's underwater.
It's closer to the book.
It's a good image of Kim Basinger in her outfit with her blonde hair waving. It's a cool image. I was like, oh, that's a pretty picture. And
pretty picture.
Pretty picture. Bond and Domino go back to the Bahamas, I guess?
I have no idea where they are. Oh, no, they must be in Nassau because Nigel's Small Faucet shows up. So
that's his name, Small Faucet? Yep. That's clever.
Which he tries to overcompensate with his extremely British accent.
Of course. He shows up again and he's trying to like, oh, M sent me. No, he fears for the safety of the free world. And then Bond goes, never. And Kim Basinger says, never? And he goes, never. Never? Never. And then the movie ends.
With the song again.
The song. Never say never. It's a silly song. They're not.
Walk in a room. A woman can hear the heat. I mean, look, I'll still pick Thunderball over this. I think Thunderball is the more accomplished film. So, I will pick Fiona over Fatima, although I do think Fatima is pretty darn entertaining. I'll pick this Largo over Thunderball's Largo. What else would I pick? Where is Never Say Never Again better? Has the better Largo? Has better jokes? More of a travelogue, whereas we're pretty much just in Nassau in Thunderball.
I would say that it has it has better Count Lippe. The entire Shrubland sequence is, as much as I love Patricia Fearing, I think, and there's no rack in this version. Their version is the fight with Pat Roach. I think the Shrubland sequence is actually better in this movie.
Probably.
Like, well, the other one is sexier, but this one's it's more efficient.
Gets to the point a little bit faster.
The first half of the movie is a little bit more efficient. Eventually, it starts lagging at the end. There's one thing that they
we also find out. I mean, it was worth going there after all. He did lose 4 pounds and eliminate a free radical. So he did do his job.
But they also explain that part of their plot involves Frank. Patachi is
Jack.
Jack's. I'm calling Frank. Jack is fighting with Fatima. At one point,
it's not much of a fight.
Well, he's pretty doped up.
He's getting spanked by Fatima.
But she says that, oh, well, we have your sister, blah, blah, blah. And he says, I don't talk about my sister. They are trying to bring that plot in, but it's not very clear. It could have been done a little bit better.
Yeah.
I mean,
it also has the better Felix Leiter. I know you like Rick Van Nutter. I just don't like him that much. I think Bernie Casey's a better Felix Leiter. That great ball that he randomly throws at Sean Connery as he leaves the airport.
It's different. I never put him in my list because the movie is not Ian.
It's not canon.
But if you now that we are. Not integrating it in the film, but
Rick Van Nutter is really sliding down the ranks.
Yeah, now he's going to be in the lesser part. He's going to be close to the Goldfinger Leiter.
Oof.
That's not a good place to be.
No, or the Living Daylights Felix Leiter.
Living Daylights is barely a character, but I like that actor in other things. I liked him on Lost because he played Jack's father, but I have to agree, it's pretty underwhelming performance. David the Distance looks better. Important Things in 1983. Fraggle Rock. Remember Fraggle Rock? Not premiered really. In Kent. Jim Henson's Fraggle Rock?
Vaguely.
Really? Oh, they started shooting Ghostbusters in February 1980. Oh,
Coolio.
Space Shuttle Challenger makes its maiden voyage on April 4th. It would be destroyed by early 1986 during a terrible accident. Oh, the Famicom, Nintendo's family computer, that basically the NES, it goes on sale in Japan. That's much earlier in the States. It didn't reach the States until 3 years later.
Great system. Is that the version with Duck Hunt?
Yeah, that's the one with Duck Hunt. Great game. The heavy metal band Kiss officially appears in public without makeup for the first time on MTV on September 18. So they took the makeup off. I remember that.
I've never seen them without makeup.
No, they're not pretty. They need the makeup back on. Even today,
it's their natural selves. It's their natural selves.
Oh, Christmas Story, released on November 18th. Well, there's a little movie that came out in 1983. It's called Superman 3. Scarface was released in 1983. And
say hello to my little friend.
Another movie you might be aware of. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's called Octopussy.
Yeah.
Oh, Emily Blunt was born in 90s. Cool. So was Kate Mara. I thought she was much younger than that.
Really?
Yeah. I always for, but she, yeah, she's in her 30s. I always think that she's like early 20s.
She looks 20-something.
Yeah, she looks like a, well, some people.
Oh, she's aging well.
Good
well, genes. Aging well. She's like in her mid-30s. I mean, she's yeah. not that old.
Domhnall Gleeson from the best Star Wars movie is General, not Grievous. He's the guy in Star Wars Episode 7 and 8 that keeps screaming, getting his ass kicked by every Force user.
General Hux.
General Hux, great character. I'm not seeing anyone born in, that's related to James Bond.
Like, well, 1983, I mean, 35 years old, I mean, who?
Mila Kunis is starring in the upcoming The Spy Who Dumped Me. Yeah,
apparently it's terrible, I've heard.
Was that a possibility that we were going to see that? I don't think so.
No. Yeah. I never thought about it. I mean, I might watch it on Netflix. That's I think Mila Kunis is very charming. I think she puts on good performances. Like Kate McKinnon. Funnily enough, Kate McKinnon, I can sort of take her leave, to be honest with you. I of the two, funnily enough, I actually like Mila Kunis more as a comedic actress.
Mm.
But, you know, I wouldn't say no, but I'm not paying $15 to see it. I'll wait for Netflix. It'll be on Netflix in 3 weeks. I mean.
Amy Winehouse was born in 1983. Donald Glover, 1983. Yeah, that's more or less like Felicity Jones. Adam Driver. I don't remember.
Adam Driver.
So final thoughts, I guess.
Very entertaining. Absolutely no reservations about having seen this. You know, because, again, it has a bit of a dubious reputation. It's non-canonical Bond, so it's not one I watch that often. I had seen it before, but it had been a while. And I'm sure my tally is only like 3 or 4, whereas like even Die Another Day I've seen maybe 7 or 8 times. Like I know it's I don't know how, but
I've seen this movie probably the only other Bond movie I've seen less than this one is one of the Roger Moore ones. I'll let you guess which one it is.
Well, you've said before you've made no secret that you don't care for the Man with the Golden Gun.
Yeah, I really don't. I really don't.
It's unfortunate that that's the last Fleming book, because I kind of, ever since you've said that, I'm like, what's that discussion going to be like? Because, hey, I'm not saying it's a masterpiece, but like you seem to really dislike it.
But I have my reasons, and I'll come at
with an
open opinion. Like, I'll try to watch it. From a I'll give it its fair assessment.
As far as Never Say Never Again goes, I'll never say never again that I won't watch it again.
No, I'm glad I bought it. I have no regrets of buying this movie. I had a great time watching it. And honestly, this is one that people need to reevaluate. Mm. It's much better than its reputation would lead you to believe. And it's equal. I'll give it that. It's equal to Thunderball. It's equal. They have strength and weaknesses.
Thunderball is a different tone. It's not that there aren't funny bits, but it does take itself more seriously.
Yeah, but
whereas this movie practically doesn't take itself seriously.
But it's entertaining. Both are.
Yeah.
Like my entertainment level was. Like on par.
It's a different form of entertainment, but I get almost the same kind of satisfaction out of both, or the same level of satisfaction out of both, which I never would have admitted to a few years ago. But then again, I hadn't seen it in a while, and I think watching Never Say Never Again was almost like I remember it must, I mean, to do a whole Bond marathon, it must have been the year Spectre came out. So I guess flashback about 3 years ago, and over the course of a few months, you know, I went through them, and at the time, there were some I hadn't seen in a while. And oh, Moonraker is dumb. Oh, Moonraker is the only way they go to space. It's a stupid one. And like, there's a lot of good stuff in Moonraker, and we had a good time.
Yeah.
This one goes back a few months at this point, but we had a good time talking about that one. And I think I had, this was like my, this was like the next Moonraker for me. It's like, oh, yeah, the reputation. And then I sat down to watch and I'm like, this is actually kind of entertaining. Like, this is pretty good.
It's a great performance. And honestly, just for that opening stunt.
Yeah. Yeah, the stunt work is great in that opening sequence. You know, and song notwithstanding, it's a great opening sequence.
Yeah. So that's it. I mean, it's equal to Thunderball for different reasons, but it's the entertainment level is equal.
Yeah, I cannot deny that I had a good time with it. Quite a good time, actually. Yeah,
I mean, I fell in love with Barbara Carrera. I remember why I fell in love with Kim Basinger.
Very beautiful woman. Very beautiful. She's a little reserved in this film, but I know you maybe beg to differ a little bit, but she's a looker, that's for sure.
No, she's gorgeous woman.
So yeah, and then I presumably this won't be the last time we review a non-canonical Bond film. I'm sure at some point we'll talk about Casino 54 and Casino 67. We didn't think about that when we did the first episodes, but I think we just wanted to wet our feet a little bit. Let's not get non-canonical right away.
We did who knows what we'll do for next April Fools. Because I'm not touching James Bond Jr. again.
No, neither am I.
But that's something we'll eventually cross that bridge when we get there. Yeah. There's no rush.
So social media time. We have people everywhere. We're at the www.thejamesbondcomplex.com. Look for us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, The James Bond Complex. We have a Twitter account, at The Bond Complex. We have an Instagram account. Search for the James Bond Complex. We now have a YouTube channel. We invite you graciously to subscribe and rate our YouTube channel. Helps with the algorithms of some sort. We're hosted on Anchor.com, so thank you to Anchor for hosting us. You can subscribe and listen to us on Google Play. And, of course, there's always good old iTunes. Give us a golden five-star Golden Gun review and rating on iTunes and download us. Put us in your feed. I'm on Twitter at @00pop.
I'm at Matt with two T's, Eau Claire.
And just as James Bond always returns, so too will the James Bond Complex in Ian Fleming's The Spy Who Loved Me.
1962.
Merci beaucoup. Toujours un plaisir. À la prochaine.
Au revoir.
Sweet, like money.